Last time in the Adventures of Clint McClunky, after successfully disrupting the mining operations on one of the Nulon's moons, Joseph and Patrick are waiting at the edge of the Argus system for contact with McClunky. Robert may have gotten himself into more trouble than he can handle. Now we return you to the Adventures of Clint McClunky in Rescue the Rebel Operative.
Okay, come out of light speed. We're here.
Well, this is in the middle of nowhere.
This is where he told us to meet him.
Did he mention why we needed to have such heavily armed and agile T-65s as well?
All his note said was to meet him at these coordinates and to be ready for anything.
That is literally the worst way to prepare someone. Be ready for anything. That could be anything from pirates to space whales.
Yeah, he also didn't mention to us that he was leaving. I mean, what if I didn't see the message, or worse, sent it to spam like everything else he sends me?
Yeah, he tags us on a lot of messages of the Twi'lek variety.
Yeah, I asked him to stop, but he keeps sending them. What's worse is then he pops his head in asking if I saw it.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a parental lock on his browser. Okay, something is on the scanner. Looks like a light freighter?
Hawk 290 class? What's this thing doing way out here? With TIE fighters!
Recon, on approach.
Oh, you have got to be kidding me.
That Hawk's in bad shape. It's taking some damage they're closing on him.
McClunky, what is going on? Whose ship is that and why are you in it?
Oh, you know me. But I'd see the sights, take a stroll. Do you think we could discuss it later? Get these guys off me!
Alright, lock S-whales in attack position, full throttle, or we won't get to him in time.
Roger that.
I can't take much more of this.
Stay on him, Joseph. I'll take the leader.
Proton away!
I don't think they're paying too much attention to us. Robert, what did you do to piss them off?
I stole the Emperor's secret casserole recipe. Just give our droid enough time to fix the hyperdrive.
They're closing on him.
Joseph, bank left.
5 seconds.
Come on, you bucket of bolts.
2, 1.
Make the jump.
Roger. How could you fail to mention you were going on a secret mission for Sean again?
Hey, I would have been fine. Besides, with the intel I got, we can expect further business due to newly opened shipping lanes.
Oh, so it was a business decision, which you failed to mention, to your business partner.
Listen, everything was fine. The HWK was in perfect order and wasn't in any real danger. Okay, she wasn't the best choice, but she performed beautifully.
Next time, keep us in the loop so we can better fit the ship and be ready to intercept you next time.
Next time? There isn't going to be a next time.
So this is a bad time to mention we are heading up the next mission to destroy the sensor net I've discovered.
Oh, hello there, and welcome to Recon Paint Gaming. I'm Patrick Patrick.
And I'm Joseph.
And we are without Robert today. Unfortunately, he came down with a bad case of the flu.
It's a bad time this year. I'm going to get your flu shots, everybody.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, there is a, what is it? A congestive, like, virus going around. There's also a bad virus that's going around. COVID is, of course, still peeking its ugly head. And then there's, like, some stomach virus going around as well.
Yep. We had the stomach virus go across work. And that was fun.
Oh, God. Not fun. It's terrible.
Well, so someone asked on like a Facebook page for our like neighborhood, and they're like, hey, like, what's with Wilbraham? How come everyone's sick? Is it just Wilbraham? Like, what are you guys noticing? And a nurse chimes in and she goes, nope, I'm a nurse in a town over. It's everywhere. It's like, it's not, Wilbraham isn't special.
No. Well, it's special for other reasons, but it's not special because everyone's sick.
Oh, definitely not. All right. So we are back to doing HOTAC missions again. Until we finally
get back.
It is nice to be. Well, we're going to still do like a full review of the Battle of Endor, but since we don't know the rules or the scenario or anything else, thanks, AMG, we are going to be doing the next mission in our pack.
So isn't that supposed to release later this month?
We don't know. It keeps getting pushed. So it was February. Now it's March.
Okay. Some point.
Could be Worlds. We'll get could there. Be after that. We don't know. I have a pre-ordered.
We'll see. I don't, but that's okay. Like, we don't have to talk about that right now. I was going to say, yeah, thank you. Let's talk about rescue.
Oh, yeah, unless you want the Rebel and the Imperial pilots.
Why would I want the Rebel pilots, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that after this. For sure we can talk about that.
We're going to talk about something positive first, though.
Yeah. Oh, super positive. This is the mission that everyone always asks about because I think it's the most failed mission. And this is the Rebel operative.
I love this mission, honestly. It is a challenge, especially if you still set your Hawk up in the middle of the deployment area. Friends, I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. Don't set your Hawk up in the middle of the deployment area. Pick one side or the other. Because that way you don't get shot by like all 6 to 7 TIE fighters on the first turn. You only get shot by about half, or they might hard turn at you. And if you do the right kind of maneuver with your Hawk, you might be able to arc dodge all of them. There's a chance.
Well,
we're
getting way ahead of ourselves.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So basically, they've received an encrypted message from one of the Rebel operative teams in the Argus system. They were engaged in covert reconnaissance of the Imperial facilities in the nearly asteroid field, and the Hawk has sustained heavy damage. We'll go over what. And there's a good bet that the Empire has already dispatched fighters to intercept them, too. So, objectives. The Hawk 290 must escape the table edge. You get a bonus if all enemy ships are destroyed. Everyone gains 2 XP, and bonus, the pilot who performs the most protect actions gets 2 experience, and if 2 or more players are tied, all tied players gain 1 experience.
So the best thing to do if you're an experience monkey, like some members of the podcast are, I'm some members of the podcast, is to try to get every one of your squad mates to take 1 protect action. A, because protect actions are important for keeping the Hawk alive. And B, because if you're playing with 4 players, 4 is more than 2 when it comes to experience points. And you want those all-important experience points, you know?
Oh, my God. You're like, so just pining for more experience. And then that's the question, is that experience worth it? I don't think it is.
I think so. I mean, when it comes to protecting the Hawk, I think it is.
Well, to keep the Hawk safe, not just to make sure that everyone gets a slice of the pie.
Well, I mean, that is fair, but also everyone should do their part to keep the Hawk safe. And if everyone does, everyone gets a nice reward at the end.
Oh, yeah. Right? And we'll cover what a protect action actually does, because some people do.
We should also probably talk about why you want to protect the Hawk. The Hawk begins the mission with the damaged sensor array crit.
Oh, okay. What about no upgrades whatsoever?
Oh, and no upgrades. Oh, right. I forgot about that. No upgrades. Also, they're unable to attack. And the ship begins with the damage sensor array crit, but it has a total number of shields equal to the number of players in the mission. It also has damaged engines, so it can't perform the boost action, and the red the forced rate maneuver is treated. No. It just says it's unable to perform a boost action. It's not the crit.
So, due to and severe it,
the,
damage
and the speed 4 maneuver is treated as red. Yeah, from damage from the fight.
So, okay, so it can the turns aren't red, but see, I'm glad you said something. So it's just the speed 4 straight is red and you can't perform boosts.
Yes. So that then sort of, yes. So you are starting with a good number of shields, assuming you're playing with 3 to 4 players. You got 3 to 4 shields, which is a slight upgrade. You are starting 1 hit point down because you do have a crit card already.
Yeah, that's another question. Like, does that crit card count towards your hull? Unfortunately, it does.
I think we've always played it as it does.
Yes. I know Sean has answered the question online, but yeah, it is a damage card. You can still repair it, counts towards your hull.
But honestly, without the boost and without the weapon system, you're probably only going to be taking focus actions anyway, so there's really no need to repair it. Am I wrong? Because rotating the arc doesn't do anything and you won't be target locking.
Yeah, that's like the funny thing. Like, there's no reason to repair it. Because it doesn't do anything for you. Because you can't attack, you can't lock. I think if you want to jam something...
Oh, I forgot the Hawk has the jam. That's true.
But even then, like, I think you'd rather have the focus.
Yes. And if you're close enough to jam something, you're probably in a bad way that turn. Don't be close enough. That's my other piece of friendly unasked for advice, friends. Don't be close enough to jam something with your Hawk. It just won't go well for you.
Yeah, especially one that can't shoot.
Yes. Also, because jam is range 1 or range 2 if they're in your bullseye, right?
Yes.
Both of those are losing propositions generally, hopefully, like depending on where reinforcements come in. There shouldn't be anything in front of you. And you don't want to have things within range 1 of you because that's just a sad time for the Hawk.
Yeah.
When you only have 2 hull points left and some number of shields between 1 and 6 shields.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually going through some of the Facebook posts because I know, and all I did, I searched for damage sensor array because I know that is the only time that this crit comes up. And one person says it's wicked easy for second edition. Someone, let's see. Yeah, their squad played and in pursuit, the X-Wing's engaged. Yeah, finished off. The Hawk rolled well for its defense and escaped, only having lost 2 shields. So, like, there are some people that do luckily get out of this without taking any damage, and then there are some that try to just flee, and it does not go well for them.
Yes, you definitely need your squadron to, like, engage and fight the enemy, but you want the Hawk to get out of there as quick as possible. I'm pulling up the other part of the rules to say what exactly the protect action does, because it doesn't say in the mission.
Ah, so protect action. So, ships may be allowed to protect 1 or more ships or emplacements during the mission. To perform protect action, a ship must be within range 1 of a target and spend an action to assign an evade token. There's no limit to the number of evade tokens that can be assigned, but there are removed at the end phase. Each evade token spent adds 1 evade result. So, it's the old school evade ability. So, if your ship has 3 evades next to it, then it can spend 3 evades if it rolled 3 dice to add 3 evades to its roll.
Can you use it to add evades beyond your normal dice results? Yeah. Or is it...
It adds 1 evade result, so it doesn't modify any dice. So, yeah, 100%. Definitely can save you.
Yep, and then that's the other special thing. So in terms of escaping, since the Hawk's hyperdrive is damaged, it can't perform a jump like you can in other Hawk-tech missions. You have to basically fly it off of your deployment edge. So you have to get the Hawk down the length of the board. And any part of its base has to leave any part of the Rebel deployment edge. So you just got to get it across the board. And try not to let it get shot down by TIE fighters. But yeah, you got to get it off the other side of your deployment zone. So you got to get into your zone and then off the edge of the field.
Yes,
it's like football.
Yes. If you ran at past the end zone, yes.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, this mission is hilarious because you have starting, depending on how many players you have, let's just say 4. There's 3 TIE fighters on both corners of the mat. And your ship, the Hawk, gets to start basically in a range 3 bubble right in the middle. So you're kind of range three away from the other TIE fighters. The rebels are on the complete opposite side of the map. You get normal rock setup, and you get 10 turns to get that hawk across. Yeah, well, now we can talk some strategies.
Oh, like I talked about a little bit, I just got very excited because I love this mission. You want to generally, in my opinion, and in my experience, having had multiple successful and multiple failed runs of this mission, you don't want to deploy in the middle of your deployment zone. I know it could be kind of scary to say, okay, I'm going to deploy right next to these three TIE fighters. I get that. But ultimately, getting shot at by two or three TIE fighters is a lot better than getting shot at by six TIE fighters. And I believe, like, on our most recent run of this campaign, we deployed the Hawk in sort of the far left corner. That's looking from the Rebel deployment edge.
Yeah.
And the Imperial ships, I think, did like three hards or two hards towards the Hawk. Yeah. And we three banked right past them. And the Hawk didn't get shot at all on the first turn. Because the enemies engaging from Vector 4 were too far away. And the enemies in Vector 3, they overshot.
Yeah,
so that is a potentiality, which is nice that you have that chance, which is better than both of the squads three banking in at you and then just lighting you up and you die, I've also had happen when running this mission before.
I think the biggest misconception is when people run this mission for the first time, it's a lot, because someone just asked me about the first mission in the CR-90 pack, to where it's five TIE fighters versus a CR-90. They're like, man, the TIE fighters didn't stand a chance. I don't know how they would stand a chance. It is like, it's not a 50-50, but it's either going to go horribly great or horribly wrong fast, to where your Hawk, if you start in the middle and do the three straight or four straight, if you're really feeling, you know, cheeky, and the TIE fighters, you know, they do a two bank instead of a three bank, or they do a three hard instead of a three bank, and, you know, they shoot at you, they miss, and then you just keep going straight. And then after that, your T-65s or Y-Wings come in, engage, and you have a great time, and everything goes according to plan. Other times, your Hawk executes its maneuver, both squads three bank in, and they literally light your Hawk up and just melts. Like, it's just...
I've lost the Hawk on round two of this mission before.
Oh, 100%.
At which point, my squad at the time, this is when I was playing with my roommates during college, we were like, okay, we're going to re-rack and try that again, because we were like, we wanted to play X-Wing, and we were like, well, we did something wrong, let's not do that again, and let's not get the Hawk killed in two rounds, because, like, we weren't even in engagement range of the TIE fighters at that point. Like, we just, like, the Hawk died before we could really play the game.
So looking through Facebook, yeah, and just being like, let me see what, you know, people have put, and immediately it's, I don't get this mission, we didn't even get within range of the Hawk to do protect actions. You scroll down, I don't get this mission, the Hawk didn't even get touched, I made it all the way across with no problems, we cleaned up the TIE fighters. Exactly, that's how it's most of the time going to run. It's a hit or a miss.
I think it also partially depends on when in the campaign you encounter it too. Because by random happenstance, like when I was playing with my friends in college, this was the first mission we did after local trouble. So we were still relatively new to HOTAC. And we were like, this was like our second mission as a squadron. And we were like, what did we do wrong? Also, it was 1.0, so it might have been a little bit different. But we were like, okay, what happened? How do we fix this? And whereas I think when we played the mission in our campaign at Battle Standard recently, this was more towards the middle of the campaign. So we already had upgrades. We had synergies. We were able to go into that engagement with one to two double modded proton torpedoes, and having that more built up squadron made fighting and cleaning up the TIE fighters way easier than basically going in with one or two upgrades from local trouble. And I think that also you could talk about experience playing the game, but I think just where you're at in the campaign could also influence how hard of an easy time you have, because, you know, like once you have your ships run around initiative three, initiative four, yeah, cleaning up six TIE fighters over the course of three turns before the elite shows up, that's not a problem. The problem is when you're a bunch of initiative ones and twos and you're
like four ships versus three TIE fighters, and you're going to lose one of, or four ships versus six TIE fighters, and your Y-wing is going to die before you kill two TIE fighters. That's where you have the problem.
So I remember at one point I did this mission, same thing when I started, I did it two or three times, and the Hawk would just die. And I'm like, what is happening? I don't get it. And so I'm like, you know what? Turned it 90 degrees, shoved it to the side. And then once the TIE fighters executed their maneuvers, which were like three hards, I did a three bank, which made it past two of them and slammed into the third. And then the TIE fighters didn't know what to do. They did another one hard. I kept three banking and ran up the side of the board while the TIE fighters in the opposite corner were like trying to chase me down. And then I was able to come in and flank them. So that's just, again, like you said, experience. That's the only reason I knew that I could do better with this mission is because I failed at it.
I love that strategy. I love that I'm just going to try to get behind them and ram them. That's very funny.
I was getting pissed. I was like, this is so stupid. I just picked them up, slammed them down 90 degrees, and then just barreled into them. And he lives. And I was like, oh, okay. I get another turn. All right. Two hard. And he two hards. The TIE fighters tried to do a two hard, which it just left us parallel. And then again, like, they can't do a two straight, so I did like a one bank and they did a two bank and we're now in front. So it was just like basically staying behind them, and I was like trying to keep my distance from the other TIE fighters, but it gave me that little bit of time I needed to get to the other side of the board with my rebel fighters.
Yes, and that's very important. Is buying the initial part of it is like, is the Hawk buying time for the rebels, and then the other half of it is the rebels buying time for the Hawk. And like, I think when we ended up doing our mission, I can't remember if I was in my Hawk at that point. I think I was in a Hawk. So we sort of like,
yeah, we got late into it.
We got late. Yeah. So like we had our two X-wings and I think, or like our X-wing, our B-wing and our E-wing were skirmishing with the TIE fighters. And my Hawk basically held the other Hawk's hand and walked it across the board.
Yes, it did. And actually. Yeah, you were doing protect actions for it.
And that worked really well because, like, I had protect actions. My Hawk had the thing where he could hold on to focuses. So if the other Hawk needed focuses, it had focus and protects. And again, that sort of comes to, there's a question here in the show notes is, do you need to kill the enemy ships? And I think it depends on where you are as a squadron when you're doing this mission. If it's your first, like, when, if it's like in your first half of the campaign, sure, go ahead, try it. But also, that's not your mission. Your mission is to get the Hawk off the board. Does at least one Rebel pilot also need to get off the board edge for a victory, or no?
It just says no. Rebel operative Hawk needs to escape from your board edge.
So this is a mission that you could pass if everybody is dead.
Yes.
Which, yeah. I wouldn't recommend it. You're in neutral territory, so you're rolling two dice on an ejection roll. But it doesn't specify that one of you needs to survive. That being said, please don't die. Life.
I didn't even think about that, running into this mission, depending on where you are level-wise. Because I'm like, I'm always assuming like you've already got, this could be the very second mission that you do. Therefore, you have like barely any experience or upgrades.
And at that point, I would say take what kills you can get, but your first priority should be getting the Hawk off the board. Whereas, like, if you're like the squadron when we just ran it, we were more experienced, so we were able to sort of split fire and basically say, okay, this one ship is going to escort the Hawk off the board, and the other three are just going to go clean up the TIE fighters. And when you have a B-wing, an E-wing, and an X-wing that all are going into that fight with double-modded proton torpedo shots, that's two to three dead TIE fighters on the opening salvo, and then another couple ones dead. And I think by the time the Elite showed up in turn three, there were only one or two TIE fighters left on the board.
Yeah, there was nothing. And I think you guys just went after him.
he came in on a bad approach vector, I'm pretty sure. And we were just able to sort of like, he came in front of where our ships were anyway. So we were able to clean him up relatively easily as well. And we just sort of
basically you blew up their house and then you knocked over their mailbox for good measure. Like that's what happened to the pilot.
But again, that's because we were a mid to high leveled squadron when we came into this thing. Whereas if this is your second mission, that Elite is a legitimate threat. And you're probably not going to be taking its lunch money. You're probably going to need to, you know, do a distraction Y-wing and hope that hope the elite goes after your distraction ship instead of going after the main ship. Which you can do with the elite because it has the attack AI. I think everything else has strike, so everything else will default to going after the Hawk.
Yes.
So but the elite will go after whatever's in front of it.
Yeah, the TIE fighters strictly go after the Hawk unless you're an average of 3, 4, or 5 initiative, then they will go after, or then they're interceptors, which is not fun to fly against.
No. I would say in terms of maneuvering for the Hawk, I like the 3-bank because it gives you a little bit of extra like shenaniganery, and they can do some shenanigans and move around a bit. The 3-straight can be helpful as well, but I really like the 3-banks because you can sort of like serpentine your way across the board, like three left, three right.
It's also just a little bit more distance.
Exactly. It's just a wee bit. And in certain missions of certain squad comps, those extra millimeters could be the difference between making it off the board or getting blown up. So it really depends on what's coming in after you in terms of what you're squad loadout wants. Ion weapons, super helpful at being able to slow the enemy ships down. Conversely, proton weapons, so instead of ion torpedoes and ion bombs, you could have proton torpedoes and proton bombs, because a slowed down enemy is still an enemy on the board. A dead enemy is also a slowed enemy because they're not going anywhere.
So this would actually, like, because I didn't even think about, like, in the beginning when you don't have a lot of points to spend and you maybe just have enough for, you know, a torpedo or a missile or a bomb, and it's like, what should we bring? It's like, well, if you don't have the points to get the protons, I would get ionization to start slowing stuff down. And then if you have, like, if you can afford afterburners to get that little extra edge out there a little bit faster to your Hawk, so that way, like, I know that you can open and close S-foils and X-wings, but that limits your offense at the same time. Well, yeah, I would say that that's a good idea. If you rigged the cargo chute, maybe?
because at time of recording, a proton torpedo, not proton torpedo, an ion torpedo is, what, 4 points, I think?
Yeah, they are not that expensive.
I'm trying to find a Rebel pilot that actually has a torpedo slot.
Oh, I can. Yeah, ion torpedoes are 4 points.
Troubling. Yes, as opposed to proton, which is 12. So if you have 4 points to put on like an X-wing, you're not going to do any damage, but like you can slow things down, or like you can then use that to set up for like an attack run on like the ace. If you can ionize the ace, you guys are all going to know where it is. You can put him into a bit of a stranglehold and then kill him. I will say Y-wings start with so many points, and it's only a 1 point difference between proton bombs and ion bombs. I highly recommend the proton bombs for Hotak because, you know, the Empire, all guts, no shields. You're going to be critting things left and right. I think on the crit table, there's like a 1 in 5 chance you just blow up the enemy ship, or at least do a double damage to the enemy ship. So like,
on a D10.
Yeah. So there's a 20% chance you do double damage to things, plus the other crits are like not fun for it to get either.
Yeah, it's double stress. You can stress, do some shenanigans. And other deplete, like, and also disarm. Strain.
Oh, disarm, yeah. So it's like having a cross between an ion bomb and an electroproton bomb, except it also, you know, does damage.
How much are proton bombs? 5?
Proton bombs are 5, and ion bombs are only 4.
Yeah, so again, like, if you have the points, upgrade to a proton. If you only have 4 experience, take an ion bomb.
but if you've got the 5th experience point, would highly recommend it, just because now you do got to be careful that you don't bomb your own Hawk, because that would be A, really embarrassing, and B, really bad for the mission. I say this as someone who has bombardiered his own squad mates before. It is embarrassing. Don't do it.
Well, so we also missed a very crucial point, which is the Hawk is initiative 1.
Oh, yes.
So it does move before your guys, so don't forget that. Again, all of a sudden, like, okay, move out of the way of the Hawk. No, the Hawk moves first. We're gonna bump, and then it's all of a sudden it's a dead Hawk. And the same thing with the Imperials. Like, the Imperials at least get to move first, so you can maneuver the Hawk right. But yeah, even though the Hawk doesn't shoot, it doesn't. The TIE fighters shoot before the Hawk. Oh, man. So it's, I wish it was initiative two, but yeah, it's initiative one. So it makes it a little bit more difficult for the rebels to pilot it when it's almost in that scrum.
Yep. But at the very least, aside from the elite, everything else will be moving before the Hawk. So the Hawk can at least try to arc dodge.
Yeah.
Imperium, or the Imperial ship, rather, sorry, because, like, if the Empire got to move with perfect knowledge where the Hawk was going to be versus where it was, it would be a much harder mission.
Oh,
I, you know?
Let's not think about that.
I mean, yes. So, challenge I'm accepted. Very glad. No, I mean, we could try it, we could play test it out, and maybe you do that if you have, like, a higher power squadron, like, when you've get your initiative four, like 3, 4, 5, and you've got like all the torpedoes and whatnot, but I wouldn't want to do that because that's one of the hardest things about fighting aces in HOTAC is like, it's like old school Whisper, yeah, who could just book perfect knowledge, just almost like Battle of Endor soon tier fell, right, Patrick?
Oh, don't worry, we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, like, I just absolutely love this mission because I'm glad we're doing a recording on it because of the pure frustration that people have in both spectrums of it's way too easy or it's way too hard. And yeah. So we can help the people that think it's way too hard. And then for the people that say it's way too easy, it's like, yeah, sometimes you get lucky. You know, it doesn't always have to be hard.
I mean, especially because there are some other missions in this game where it's like you were lucky if one ship limps off the board, or at least maybe that's just the way our squadron was flying them.
I gotta say, the Y-Wing is a great HOTAC ship, but it just melts after a while. I don't know why the AI has it out for Y-Wings, but once they just start gnawing at it, they just won't let go.
I think because the Y-Wing ends up being kind of slower, and it's kind of like, you know, like in like the National Geographic shows about like the lions hunting the antelopes, one of the antelope runs slower than the other ones, and that's the one that gets picked apart by the lionesses. But the Y-Wing is your slow antelope, you know.
Oh god.
But you know what, that Y-Wing usually has high yield explosives, which is something antelopes don't have. So when the TIE fighters are chasing your Y-Wing, you can be chucking bombs out the back and blowing them up.
I would love to see a gazelle throw a concussion bomb at a lion.
Yep, just like as it's running, just like hucking landmines at the god. No, that'd be terrible.
That'd be amazing. But yeah,
that's what's happening here, because the TIE fighters are a coordinated pack of hunters. They're basically gonna latch onto the slowest thing in your list. And they're gonna melt it off. But you know what? The Y-Wing is a flying coffin. You know, if you haven't seen the flying coffin painting tutorial, go check it out. It's amazing.
Yeah.
That's on our YouTube channel.
Yeah, please go check out the flying coffin.
It is so fun.
Oh, I love that little thing.
Yes, I'm gonna fly up next time we start a HOTAC campaign, I'm gonna be in a Y-Wing again so I can use my flying coffin again.
I would be upset if you didn't.
Me too, honestly.
And then I will say, because we the last part, should you perform protected actions? And the answer is yes. If you can,
yes.
And your Hawk is in immediate danger, if your Hawk is getting chased down and it is go time, and all of your ships could like pursue other things, like bank towards the Hawk, do the protect action, and just don't worry about getting shot at because they're not going to shoot at you. And the odds of you killing all these TIE fighters is slow. So if you could then make it to where none of those shots coming into the Hawk could possibly do damage mathematically, then do the protect action.
Or conversely, if you're on the flip side of the mission and your Hawk is like home clear, have one of your ships do a protect action. It's 2 free experience points. What are you doing?
Oh yeah, you should at least have one ship do a protect action as it's passing, if possible.
Yes. If you can get your whole squadron to do at least one, great, but sometimes it's not possible. But at the very least, you want one of your ships to do one so you can get those 2 bonus experience points. If you can get your Hawk off, Patrick, do you know offhand if you are able to do full speed 3 bank, 3 bank, 3 bank, 3 bank? Is it 6 or 7 turns it takes for the Hawk to get off the board?
Oh, that's such a good question.
I feel like I should have measured this out before tonight.
Three, four, five. I think it's six.
Yeah. So, like, if it's turn six and your Hawk is, like, safely off the board and you guys want to stay and shoot more TIE fighters and your GM is cool with that, stay and shoot the extra TIE fighters. Like, just, like, hang out, get the experience points. But, like, if it's, like, turn eight and you're, all your stuff's on fire, just like, turn, like, eight, nine, get out of there.
Yeah. Because there is a squad that shows up and it's a full squad.
Yeah.
TIE fighters at turn seven. Another squad at turn five. So don't be cheeky. Like, we used to do it as, if you get the Hawk off, the mission is over. It ends. You don't have to stay around. You don't have to light speed out. But if you want to gain more experience, you always can. And then end when you feel that you've done enough. And then light speed when you want.
Yeah.
So I have to look that up in the rules, whether it's in certain territories, it's like some of them you have to light speed out, some of them you have to exit through a board edge. But for the ones towards, like, it says in the rules, once you've completed the primary mission, the mission's over.
So well, that's why I said if your GM is cool with it, because, like, some people are saying, nope, mission's over, but other people are like, I think you've given us the option, like, hey, did you want to stay and fight it out kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like, actually, another football reference where they run down the field and then they just walk the line of the end zone to run out the clock and then step in. So you could do that with the Hawk. Go down to the board edge, turn right, and then just skirt the board edge and then, you know, then come off.
Which, again, if you're trying to hunt experience points, not a bad way of doing it, because that would pull the TIE fighters to one spot on the board and you could fish in a barrel them. Just don't let them kill your Hawk.
Yeah, be
safe. I don't know if I'd recommend that, though, to be honest.
I don't either.
Like, I've given some bad advice in my life, and I don't think I can, like, actually condone that course of action.
In HOTAC, he means. He's given bad advice yep. In HOTAC. Can confirm.
I mean, in when we're doing the have we already talked about the mission where we have to clear the minefield?
No, that like
that's
I actually
a fun episode.
I thought we've done so many more missions. We've only done four. This is
I was gonna say,
five.
We've done a couple. So when we talk about the minefield mission, is what I will give my bad advice. But I'm just saying, you can guarantee a mine gets cleared if you drive over it with your ship.
You gain no experience from it. You suffer damage from it.
A win is a win, guys.
And then a bomber will like just poop another one out, anyways.
Listen, like I said, I've given bad advice before, but this is, I'm not going to condone, listen, I'll condone blowing up your own ship to clear mines, but I will not condone risking the Hawk for experience points.
Jolly.
Patrick is shaking his head at you guys. Also shake your heads at me.
I've done this so many times before already. I've already had these conversations multiple times to where Joseph goes, question. Can I drive over the mines? Yes, you can, Joseph, but you don't gain experience. Question.
Can I
How
do
much
it anyway?
How much damage do I take for driving over the mine? Do you roll three die? You roll for the amount of hull remaining on the mine.
Oh, and right. That's how it is.
For every hit and crit, you suffer that damage. Okay. Understood. And I'm going to drive over these two mines. Joseph, that's six dice.
And did we win the mission?
You blew up, and then for some godly reason, because I think the minefield one is neutral, or is it hostile?
It's neutral, I think.
How is that? Which makes no sense to me, some of these
things. No, that would probably should be hostile territory.
No, it's even worse. Tread Softly is friendly territory. How is it friendly? It's mine.
Oh, right, because, yeah, it's friendly territory. So, listen, we'll get there when we talk about Tread Softly, but... The fun point.
I can risk. I can't die, right? No, you have to roll two crits on the death chart. Cool.
Exactly.
Dies. So rolls a blank. No consequences.
Listen. It's a fun time. You don't have to do it, but when it gets towards the end of the game, and if you're running out of time, and you guarantee you need to blow those mines up, you have a guaranteed way of doing it.
Yep.
And there is very little consequence.
No, yeah, definitely no consequences.
But, well, there is the chance you could lose your most expensive upgrade, but, you know.
Yeah, which you'd gain right back because you already got, like, 50 experience from that mission.
Yes, like I said, there was no consequences.
There are no consequences when Joseph plays. I can
It's confirm. Like a Marvel movie. No consequences.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, sorry, we're getting off track here, but rescue rebel operatives. Don't blow your own hawk up, and just have fun. Try playing in a corner. If you're playing with three players, put it in the corner closer to Vector 3, because Vector 4 will always have more ships in it if you're playing with an odd number of players.
Yeah.
Until you get up to 6, in which case then... Yeah, so I'd say deploy in the Vector 3 corner and just go from there.
Yeah.
And, good luck and happy hunting, you know?
Yeah, I never recommend or play with 1 to 2 players, even in our Learn to Hotak video that I did. If there's only 2 people playing Hotak, take 3 or 4 ships and count those as players as well.
Give them an extra ship.
I think 1 to 2, if you tried this, the Hawk will only have 4 health, if not 3, and the TIE fighters will annihilate it. So always take up to 3 to 4 players. It's more balanced that way.
And also just, it feels a little bit more fun. It feels a little more thematic. You have a little squad of ships. Especially some of the later missions, I don't know how you do it with 1, because I feel like you might just like run out of time to scan things, you know?
Yeah, most of these missions don't work with 1 player. I just think that for what Hotak is, the 1 to 2 player slots is if you find a mission way too difficult for what it is, and you lower the number of players, that way you know how many TIE fighters come on. So even though there might be 3 players, you lower it to 2 players, or even 1, till you learn how to do a certain mission to completion. So I think that's what really those are there for. They're not really there or meant for a single person to try and take on these missions, because most of them are impossible to do with just 1 ship.
I mean, it could be like a fun challenge to see, but also, you'd have to be like the best pilot in the galaxy. But that could be an interesting series of videos, though.
Oh, if you could take like double tap Han, which unfortunately his ability wouldn't work in half of these missions, but
and okay, it would count as 2 Lando. Players because it's a large base ship, though.
No, but it would only count as one.
Oh, that's it. Well, count as 1 ship, but it'd be 2 players, right? Because don't large bases count as 2?
Technically, but I make my own rules. But if you're taking an E-wing loaded to the gills with force, you might be able to do some of these missions.
But I also feel like a lot of the strength that lies in Rebel squad building is having squad mates and having that synergy between ships. But
for sure,
that's just because we also build like synergy machines when we play, because we would like to be able to have a lot of token sharing and lots of double modded shots. And Dutch Vander pilot ability and an E-wing chassis is just such a good time, because you can pass locks at any range except for 1. And it's a good time.
Yeah, I also, oh man. So another episode I want to do for the podcast is like killer combos for Hotak, because there are a lot of new cards out there for Rebels that will significantly boost your game. And I don't think people like notice them, because they don't play them in the real game and they didn't notice them in Hotak. Like, there's a Fang Fighter that lets you double tap.
Which one is that?
Yeah, now you're interested. So
I was thinking about, why don't we take Wolf Waro on Y-Wings and Hotak the other day when I was flying the Wolf Waro, the Yazatuk.
Yeah, so when he doesn't have shields, he can immediately boost up his attack.
Yes, well, because I did that when I was in college, after we did our Hotak campaign, there was in 1.0, there was one that was called like Villains of the Atari Cluster.
Yeah.
And where it was basically just doing this, but with Imperial ships, and I took all of the Imperial abilities that let me roll extra attack dice. Like, I took Mauler Mythyl, I took there was one of the TIE Strikers in 1.0. I was also in an old school Phantom, so I had 4 base attack dice. So every time I shot, I was rolling 7 attack dice. And it was very silly, because it was just, but the Empire also has more of those things than Rebels do. But I think that could be a fun way of having like a shotgun blast ship. And then I think they also now maxed out the number of attack dice you can roll at 6. Sad face.
No, that's good. So it's
probably for game balance is fun. Yeah, Bodica Avengers. I'm just looking at her card.
Another friendly ship defends. If you're not depleted, you may perform a bonus primary attack against the attacker. If you do, after performing that attack, gain 1 deplete token.
Honestly, I like that. I like that a lot. That if you could combo that with something that gives you extra attack dice and just sort of like vomit forth massive numbers of dice.
Yeah, like Jenner or and Wolf Aura.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wait, Jenner has a pilot ability?
No, I always mix them up. Is that
Jan? Oh, Jan Ors.
Jan Ors.
Yes, Jan Ors, Wolfaro. You can, I mean, Blount. And then if you have Blount, or if you have Braylon on there just to give you the rerolls, because passive rerolls on both of your attacks. Okay, we'll save that for another episode. But
exactly. Killer combos of the Atori cluster.
I love it. I love combo making. It's a good time.
Oh, especially in this game. All right. Yeah. So that's going to wrap it for this mission. We're now going to segue into Rebel pilots for the Battle of Endor.
Oh boy. Won't that be fun? Yay.
I actually think they have some winning combinations here. I like them. And Joseph is silent.
I have some thoughts, which we'll get to. I'm just going to put them all here on my screen real quick.
Yep. Yeah. So for you Hotech fans that have no interest in the regular game, but we might brush up against something that's actually a really good ability for Hotechs.
Well, maybe stick around because there might be some stuff. Like, actually, how do we want to handle like pulling pilot abilities off of these ships for Hotechs? I think there are some winners, but I think there's also a lot of losers.
Well, here I can actually send you the link for their transmission.
Oh, thank you. Oh, so, the Rebel one. Okay.
Yeah, so we've already done Lando Wedge. But yeah, there's Yendor, who has...
From the Battle of Yendor.
So
sorry, that was bad. Okay.
No, he's initiative 5. I think he's 5 points, if I'm not mistaken. Let me double check.
Yes, he is 5.
I love his name. Yendor from Endor.
Yep. Who his ability is when you perform an attack or perform a primary attack, you may gain 1 strain token to reroll one of your blank results. That right there, when you roll dice, you can gain a strain to do something to your dice, is the main design philosophy of pretty much all of the Rebel, not all of them, but many of the Rebel pilots here.
Yeah,
he has that. That's a solid obligatory ability. Yes, but also it might get you killed in Hotech a little bit, but maybe no. He's got, I suppose if you're depending on your ship thing, but it's a trap. He's got plasma torpedoes. Oh, should I read it? It's a trap. Oh, yeah, sorry. While defending, if there are more other friendly ships than enemy ships, range 0 to 1, you may reroll one of your blank results. That's okay. That's actually pretty okay if you get a trigger. He's also got a stabilizing
action, though. Like, that doesn't... You've took, like, multiple pilots that had that ability, and it almost never triggers.
Again, I'm trying to be nice. Yeah, it's pretty garbage, if you ask me.
However, though...
Sorry, I was trying to be nice. He's got plasma torps, which is something. And he's also got a stabilizing astromech, so which has 1 charge. And after you fully execute your maneuver, you may spend 1 charge to perform a wide action while stressed. I would That's like solid. That astromech as like an actual card. I think that would be cool.
Yeah, I really like that. Because now you have your proton or plasma torpedoes going off. And if you didn't want to spend your lock, you roll hit in a blank, you could then take the strain, reroll the die, and rather than spending your target lock.
Well, no, it's only like from a primary attack, so you can't reroll on secondaries.
Never mind.
Yeah, exactly. If it was an Imperial ship, dead on arrival.
Oh, my God.
Also, since he is an X-Wing in here, he does have the locked S-Foils chassis ability, so you can perform a boost, but get a deplete token.
Yeah.
Just as a fun thing. There's also Kendi... Oh, God. Adele? Idle? Ideally? Help me out with that last name. I don't know. Idle. Kendi Idle, which is after you spend a green token, you may choose a friendly ship at range 1 to 3 and gain a strain token. If you do, that ship may perform a red focus or evade action, which I don't hate this. I found that when I was flying her,
you know,
she was on a...
Well, you know who'd be good with? Oh. It would be good with Tycho.
It would. Original Tycho.
No, the new one.
Oh, right. It would be good for new Tycho, but because... new Tycho kind of. Yeah.
Well, so
but it was, but it, no, but it wouldn't be
combination.
But Patrick, no, but it wouldn't be because Tycho's initiative 5 and Kendi's initiative 4, which is my problem with I've had this on Kendi. I really like this ability if I could put it on a higher initiative ship, but by the time that Kendi shoots, a lot of my other ships had already shot and wouldn't really need that.
No, I think that Tycho needs all the defense he can get.
Yeah, but. But what I'm saying, but like, but is he's already shot, so he's already used the juke, so he can't then juke and proton rockets, and it's okay.
Well, no, so this is during, because if you could pass or make him do an evade or a focus, because then you could do the chafe particles while defending, spend a focus result at the end of the neutralize to remove a red or
orange.
That's
true. If she gets shot by, say, an initiative 6 Sinterfell or something, she can do this and spend her token and then give Tycho something. But I found when I flew her, people weren't shooting at her because there were other tastier targets on the board.
True.
And she just sort of did whatever. And I don't think her ability triggered. Granted, sample size 1 game. I like this in Hotak.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot.
She's got chaff particles, so when defending, you may spend 1 eyeball result to during the neutralize results to remove one red or orange token. She also has a modified R4P astromech, which again is kind of interesting. So after you before you execute a red maneuver, you can spend your 1 charge while you do the maneuver, reduce its difficulty. So I like that.
Yeah, 1 charge, not reoccurring.
Kind of like the Republic version better, where it had 2 charges, but that's okay. She's also got It's a Trap and Ion Missiles. She's okay in battle or in the main X-Wing, but again, I like her ability more for Hotak, where I could mix and match and make combo machines with it.
Yeah, I think Kendi's 4 points, though.
She is 4 points, which is not great, but not terrible.
See, that's the thing. Like, if you just want to take up 5 X-Wings, which that is a list that I built, I think you can get almost all of them at I-4, and you have all these crazy abilities. So, like...
but. If I were going to bring 5 X-Wings, I would do it in Resistance because they're better.
Can you get 5 X-Wings in Resistance?
Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can.
Only get 4.
No, you can get 5. You just can't get certain pilots. Like, you can't get Temin, who does the flippy flappy S-foils. Okay. But you can get regular Temin, who is arguably also really good because he can do the fun boosty thing. And that has... You can take... There are... 11 initiative, or there are, what is it, 10 or 11 4-point X-Wing pilots in Resistance?
Jesus.
So you have option. Okay, yeah, you've got, sorry, how many is it? I'm going to count real quick, right? Not live. I'm just going to let you guys know the number. 9. Sorry. You have 9 different, initiative or 4-point Resistance X-Wing pilots that range between initiatives 1 and 5. So you can build a pretty versatile list with those. Granted, you're capped out at 9 loadout points. They averaging between 6 to 9 loadout points, so around like 7 to 8 loadout points per ship. But you could still put shield upgrades, you could do hull upgrades, you can... Sorry, I don't mean to shit on the Rebel X-Wings. But again, if you're going to run a 5 X-Wing list, I would look at Resistance because they all have a free shield upgrade over their Rebel counterparts.
Yeah, so the list that I built is you have 4 I-4s, and then you can take Corn Horn at I-5.
Cool, okay, I like that.
Or you can take Thane instead of Corn. So you have 4 I-4s and an I-5, which is actually pretty solid. Or it's at least a fun combination, and some of their abilities actually work really well with each other. All right.
Arvel. God. Arvel is the hero.
Right. They did him right.
He is going to be very hard to use in regular play, but in the scenario, he's going to be a lot of fun.
Heroic sacrifice.
Yeah, see, we'll get there. The main reason you're taking Arvel is for his heroic sacrifice, but we're going to do that last because hype. He's got his pilot abilities. While defending, you can gain 1 strain token to change 1 of your eyeball results to an evade result. He has vectored cannons, which are not as good as the refined gyro stabilizer on the Resistance A-Wings. I will not apologize. And notably, he has a white slam action on his action bar. Patrick, what can he do with that white slam action?
Heroic sacrifice. After you perform a slam action, roll 5 attack dice. Each large ship, huge ship, and scenario feature at range 0 suffers 1 damage for each hit or crit result, bypassing shields. Then the ship is destroyed. You can perform boost or slam actions even while stressed.
I will say, in the one game where I got this to... he also has a shield upgrade over a regular A-Wing. When I played against Kenny, I did heroic sacrifice Arvel into his dash Rendar just for the fun of it, and I did like 3 hits to him. I then promptly lost the game, but I got to say that I heroic sacrificed Arvel into a ship, so it's very fun.
How much damage did you do to the
only 3
dash?
Damage to dash?
Only, but to his hull.
Yeah, to his hull. He still had shields up, though, so like, eh. And then I promptly forgot that Arvel is 4 points, and I just gave up 4 points for using him as a little torpedo.
Yeah. That's the bad part, is he's 4 points.
If he was 3 points, I would be singing his praises from the rooftops.
I don't know why, but he's not 3 points. Yeah,
because the Rebels can't have anything nice, Patrick. That's
no,
why.
Clearly not. Like, he has proton rockets. It's a trap. Like, so I get why he might be 4, because just proton rockets alone, it's a slamming A-Wing. And its main ability, while defending, you can gain a strain to change a focus to an evade result. Not bad.
Again, yeah, not great.
I wouldn't take 4 points in a standard game in this scenario, 100%.
In the scenario, because he's Arvel and it's the Battle of Endor, and what are you doing if you don't take him?
Yeah,
which
or in an
I would
epic
love
battle.
To be...
Oh my god, would I take him in an epic battle?
Oh yeah, an epic. He's a little torpedo ship, but. We've also got Gemmer Sojin, or
I
Sohan.
Love paint job. I love that art on the card, too.
It's great art. He's got while defending, you may gain 1 strange token. Jeez. 1 strain token to change up to 2 of your blank results to eyeballs, which is not
pretty good.
It's good if you have a focus token. If not, you know. He's got It's a Trap. He's got precision-tuned cannons, which is a 2-die shot. But if the defender is at range 2-3, but if the defender is in your bullseye, you can add 1 eyeball result, which is counter synergistic with his defensive ability. I suppose you could use his defensive ability to trigger chaff particles, which he also has. And he's also got a target assist algorithm. So before you engage, if you have no green tokens and there are 1 or more enemy objects in your forward arc, you can gain a calculate token. So yeah. He's got some way to generate passive mods. Again, I would be more interested in these Rebel pilots if these weren't like set loadout cards, and I could like have a card that said target assist algorithm, or have a card that said chaff particles. Like, I'd love to be able to take pieces of these and include them either on
the game, Joseph.
You know, it's also hard to balance the game when you've given the Rebels this and you gave the Empire Colonel Jenden. So I don't want to hear it about game balance, Patrick. I really
shots
don't.
Shots fired.
Kablammo.
Yes. Oh,
should we talk about? Should we talk about some B-Wings?
I love these B-Wings.
I will say the B-Wings are probably the bright spot for me in this entire pack.
Shocking. Of all the ships in the Rebel pack, these are what I gravitate to.
I will say the Braylon Gina combo is a bright spot until somebody shoots either Braylon or Gina, and then you have a B-Wing with a blank pilot ability.
Yep.
But like, I like the gyro cockpit. I like that they have bombs. Again, if I could have the gyro cockpit as an alternate... I should let people know Gyro Cockpit does. If I have that as an alternate config card to the stabilizers, I'd be happy. Anyway, Gyro Cockpit. After you gain a stress token, you may spend 2 charges. You've got 2 recurring charges to gain an evade token. Or, when you drop a device, you may spend 1 charge to set the template with its middle line aligned with the hash mark on your ship's left or right side instead of your rear guides. This is a lot of fun. It allows you to drop bombs in wonky ways. It allows you to have juke on a B-Wing with a proton torpedo?
Yeah.
Gina is a lot of fun. I like Battle Over Endor Gina.
That's what slays me is this is a crazy combination of stuff on one ship.
Yeah.
Like, I would like this on other like, give me a Y-wing that can drop a bomb out the sides.
Yes. Or, like, give me, like, give the other rebels interesting pilot abilities.
Or I will say the crazy part is I think Braylon's 4
and Gina's 5 here.
Gina's 5. Her normal chassis ability is 4. And
Braylon's normal is
5. And I'm trying go ahead.
So ironically, I would want to run Battle Over Endor Gina with base Braylon. I'd also don't want to pay 10 points for 2 B-Wings.
So this is my problem. I'm the same way, only because Gina has the proton torpedoes. The only thing that keeps me from running the original Gina, because what would be better than having Gina shred her folk or her stress, which is her normal B-wing ability, like she has to pass it to a ship, I think range 0 to 2.
Yeah.
I would love her to pass that to Braylon. That way he doesn't always have to do something stupid to get his stress. He would be able to just, okay, one straight, take the target lock. Okay, by the way, here's your stress from Gina. Instead, Gina has the proton torpedoes and juke, so I'm opted to take Gina from Battle of Endor, which is more expensive, which means then I have to take the more expensive Braylon rather than the 4-point combination, which saves you 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, you could run the 4-point Braylon from... You could just do the 2 Battle Over Endor. So, okay. So we should probably talk about what their pilot abilities are. Because they are linked.
That's
so
the problem. Then their pilot abilities are trash.
Well, Gina's is... And again, this is where I think the Rebels probably could have benefited if their Battle Over Endor pilots had their regular pilot abilities on top of all the other cool stuff. That probably would have put them on the same tier as some of the Empire stuff. But again, that's just me. I'm also a little biased because have you seen Colonel Jendin's card?
True. But like, that's the thing. If I don't take these two, I don't get the cool bombs out the sides.
Yep.
I don't get it's a trap. I don't get delayed fuses. I mean, I don't get half
even
the
if
stuff.
Even if you bring these, you're probably not getting it's a trap anyway, because of just how the game works. Anyway.
Well, so they'd always be next to each other. So,
well, that's true. So yes, at the start of the engagement phase, Gina Moonsong. If a friendly Braylon strap is at range 0 to 2 and stressed, you can acquire a lock. And Braylon is at the start of the engagement phase. If a friendly Gina Moonsong at range 0 to 2 is stressed, you may gain a focus token. So the play here is Gina or Braylon rolls up, does the barrel roll linked to a red target lock. Gina rolls up, does the focus linked to the red barrel roll. Gina then gets a target lock because Braylon's stressed. Braylon then gets the focus because Gina's stressed. Gina has a proton torpedo. Braylon has a homing missile. Braylon has proton bombs. Gina has ion bombs. Braylon's got delayed fuses. Gina has juke. Juke on a B-wing with proton torpedoes at I-5 is pretty fun. There's also a third B-wing here called Adon Fox. I won. But this is, again, for HOTAK, this is a great ability. Because you combo this with some of the other ways that you get stressed in HOTAK. Well, while you're defending, if you're stressed, roll one additional defense die. You combo that with original Braylon's ability, and you have that on something with 3 agility dice, like an E-wing or an A-wing, and you're going to be rolling 4 dice. You're going to be rolling 4 dice with 2 rerolls. Maybe you have some force points in there or some sort of evade shenaniganery. That's a cool ability.
It's I-1, so you can buy it almost immediately after unlocking level 3. So you
get it really early on. He's also got It's a Trap. He's got a thing called Parting Gift, which is when you're destroyed, before you are removed, you may spend 1 charge on an equipped bomb upgrade to drop or launch it using a 1 straight or bank template, which is pretty cool. He's also got proton rockets and proton bombs. So he's 5 points, though. I don't like him at 5 points.
Yeah, what up with...
Again, the Rebels aren't allowed to have nice things. I think most of the Rebel pilots in here could come down 1 point, and it's probably fine.
I think Adon should be 4.
Adon should be 4. I would argue...
He doesn't have a shield upgrade like Gina and Braylon do. Proton rockets are great, but it's a bullseye only. Proton bombs are fun. But, like, again, this thing's not going to live very long. Yeah.
I think Braylon is appropriately priced. I think Gina's appropriately priced. Adon could come down 1 point. Gemmer is fine at 3. Tycho and Arvel should not be 4. Yendor should come down to 4. Kendi's probably fine at 4. We all know how I feel about Wedge. He should be 3 points. And Lando's probably okay at 7.
Yeah, so I'm 100%, I think a lot of these Rebel pilots are landlocked to the scenario.
Yeah, I mean, there's, I don't see why you would take this Arvel if you're not playing this scenario. Which is sad, because there's really no reason in general play. Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't have a large base ship, that's never going to happen. This Tycho, again...
He's so bad. He's so bad.
It's amazing.
Well, for Hotak, while you're disarmed, if you can perform... But then this also then locks... If you're playing it with one pilot per one pilot... If you're putting this up against regular Tycho's pilot ability, I don't see why you'd pick this.
Only because if you had some sort, you know, like on a B-wing or Y-wing, if you are reloading bombs, you can still shoot.
But it's only missile attacks, and B-wings and Y-wings don't have missiles. They only have torpedoes.
Well, that also depends on which Y-wing you select, because some do have missiles, some do have torpedoes.
I think in Hotak, do they? Oh, I guess you could, I'm a little down on these pilots, so again, I'm going to acknowledge my bias, but I'm going to look at what missiles would you want to be taking in Hotak? You can't do the barrage rockets, and I feel like maybe concussion missiles?
Also, because that's the thing, while you're disarmed, you can still perform missile attacks. So let's say that you have bombs in your Y-wing, you want to reload, but you still want to attack, and you have missiles just for that reason.
Yeah, so maybe you have, maybe you've got, cluster missiles on your Y-wing or something, but the way my playstyle has been, if I'm bringing a Y-wing, I'm throwing a proton torpedo on it, or an advanced proton torpedo or something.
True.
I am very down on these Rebel pilots. I don't want to try to sap it. If you guys are excited about these, more power to you. I hope you have a fun time running them. I've flown every one of these except for Yendor and Aiden at least once.
Yeah, we did.
Just because. I haven't flown Yendor yet. And sorry, when I say playtest, I was not an AMG playtester.
I would love to be a playtester.
Yes, I took these in games so I try to speak with at least some knowledge of how the ship operates, because I want to try to be responsible in our journalistic approach here.
Before we rip them apart.
before I say this is garbage, I want to at least have flown it once. Or in Wedge's case, 2 or 3 times, and I could not make him work.
I will say, because we are Hotak players, we can do whatever we want. There's no one to say that we can't. All of these upgrades that you see, like It's a Trap, Chafe Particles, Heroic Sacrifice, Modified R4P Unit, you can purchase those if you want. And it's just the whatever upgrade that you want, it's the cost of the pilot. So if you want Chafe Particles, it costs Kendi's cost.
Can I get it off of Gemmer's card for 3?
Yeah. If you want Heroic Sacrifice, well, he's 4, isn't he, for Arvel?
No, Gemmer. I'm talking about Chafe Particles. Can I get it from him instead? Because it's 3 points on him.
Rules. I don't care.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I'm just assigned.
I'm going to do this for Padre, because Padre's not here. Can I have a Heroic Sacrifice K-Wing?
Oh, 100% you can. Can you imagine someone using Heroic Sacrifice on during a scenario on an emplacement?
Yes. Because
you can use this on scenario features.
What's the one where attack the fueling station? You just kamikaze your K-Wing into the ship?
Yeah.
Could be pretty fun. Or during the attack the bridge scenario on the Star Destroyer?
Oh, yeah. I created a card called I'm Hit. And I forget what the rules were for it, but it was very similar to this, which was crazy.
Now, could we...
could we modify it so you get one additional die for every unspent charge on ordnance cards you might have? Sure. So like if you have like a full bomb bay full of like bombs and torpedoes and stuff, you explode better.
That'd be awesome.
Lest I give the audience the wrong impression, there is fun to be had here. Like there are some fun things. You're going to have a good time. I'm still excited to see what the scenario actually looks like. But having flown, let's see, how many of these pilots are there? There's 10 of them, and having flown 8 of them in general play.
Yeah, we're up to 6 or 7 games. With these pilots.
I have positive things to say about 3 of these pilots so far, from their experience in general play, and those 3 would be Gina, Braylon, and Lando.
Yeah.
I think Tycho and Wedge need a lot of help. Kendi was okay. I haven't tested Yendor yet. Gemmer was okay. Like, he was good for, like, holding a back objective. But he didn't do a heck of a lot when I did it.
No, not really.
Just makes me sad. I don't want to look at Tycho anymore.
See, I do like Lando. I like Gina and Braylon. But yeah. It's one of those like mentalities. As long as you're okay with losing Gina or Braylon, because it's going to happen, it won't happen right away. You won't lose them in probably the first joust, but you'll probably lose them eventually. Because it is 9 health, they do get focus and evades passing back and forth,
yeah.
And they are shooting at a high initiative. So, like, they're going to do what they are meant to do, which is basically joust and die. But
yep.
If you control them to take out something and then also prepare to get the bombs out there as a deterrent as well, yeah, they're going to kill. They are totally going to take something out first.
It's like in chess. There, you're going to trade those pieces. You just got to make sure your trade is worth it, because you're losing 5 points of B-wing. So that's like a rook in chess. You got to make sure you're going to take out something at least of equal or greater value, or get a good position on the board for your sacrifice.
Yeah. So drop your bomb, put a delayed fuse on it, do your 1 forward, launch out all your crap, and then drop it. You're not going to die, probably. And then you drop another bomb.
You're probably going to die in the second or third turn of engagement, depending on how many shots the opponent takes on you. That was my experience in the couple games I flew with the 2 B-wings. That tended to be 1-1-1 dropped.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to be okay with having a blank pilot ability on one of your B-wings the rest of the game, which, yeah, again, is kind of sad, but...
At that point, I think the deed's done.
Yeah. But, like, I like that there are some ships that have, like, I like that they did that with Anakin and Obi-Wan, and I think that's fun and thematic for Anakin and Obi-Wan. I just wish that maybe the Gina Braylon handhold the ability was like one of the upgrade card abilities and not their main pilot ability. But again, that's just me. It could be fun to do that in HOTEC, like, I maybe nominate, like, you pick one friendly ship and, like, if, like, one squad mate kind of thing, because I guess, Patrick, how would you port these abilities over to HOTEC? Like, how would you do that?
I mean, so
putting you on the spot here.
You'd have to have 2 pilots have each one of their abilities, or one pilot could take both.
So if you're stressed, you gain. So if I have Braylon's ability
and Gina's,
interesting, and Gina's ability, so I could
just stretch yourself and get a lock and a focus.
So I could take old Braylon, or I could take old Braylon, and no, but old Braylon, you wouldn't need Gina's ability. Yes, you could take both Gina and Braylon, and then do like something that gets you a stress. Actually, that could be fun and interesting.
Super easy to get a stress in HOTAC. I mean, you could do it by either taking an A-wing with vectored cannons, so you get to boost, and then bam, all of a sudden now you have a focus lock, and then you do your
boom maneuver. Or you take a regular A-wing, because they used to be stressed at the start of the engagement, so you take a regular A-wing and you just do evade boost.
Yeah, now you have focus, evade, boost.
Focus, evade, target lock. Yeah. Oh, so, I like that. And you have juke!
Yeah, exactly. And it's only because it says 0 to 2. So,
yeah.
They can always and be together, even when yes, they die.
I am a friendly Raylan Stram.
Oh, absolutely. So, again, more combinations. Like, you can always make combinations to where everyone's friendly and passing stuff, or you could just be a goblin hoarding dragon of abilities.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure... Oh, God. Like, just spitballing. I know there's an A-wing, or is it an X-wing? Sorry, there's an X-wing that is basically, like, if you're focused, you can perform this during your activation.
Oh, yeah. One of the two tubes, brothers.
Yes. See, now I want to start freaking list building with these things.
Edrio two tubes. Before you activate, yeah. if you're focused, you perform an action. But I don't know how you'd get the pre-focus, pre-activation focus.
Is there any red if you have a...
But these are at the start of the engagement, you get this if you're stressed. So I don't know if that would...
No, so if you have the two tubes, you get coordinated, because there is a guy that has, or a girl that has the squadron leader. If they coordinate to you, you do boost before... Or, you know, during their activation, which then would cause you to gain a red token, which then would allow you to perform another action. That you are stressed, so you take Tycho's ability. Like, you could stack all these on top of each other, but yeah. Just these two alone would be crazy.
Or you just run the Gina Braylon combo on the ship that is doing the red coordinates with squad leader. Well, no, I think didn't Sean make it a white coordinate because nobody was using it?
Yeah, I think it's now a white coordinate.
Well, audience, listeners, hi, dear listeners. We will crack this for you, and we will make some shenanigans.
The ultimate plinger.
We will build the very strange token stack, token share pilots.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh, no, you can basically make it to where there are some pilots that get stacks of focus, and then they're able to share those focus, but then also because they had did this, they get X, which is more tokens for them, which is like re-rolling and target locks on top of like...
I like the combo of one ship having Garvin Drace's ability and another ship having Asajj Tucatu's ability, so you can spend the target lock off of Asajj with Garvin and then give it right back to him.
Or spend the focus, rather.
Yes, I'm going to start the focus off of him. Yeah, and I like that a lot. Like,
yeah, those are the rebel pilots.
Yeah, I think they just need some points adjustments. I think if they just weren't,
expensive. Like,
I hate him.
I don't even like
his pilot ability in HOTAK. Like,
no, after you perform an attack that hits, gain a focus token. Like,
and especially since you're going to be waiting until I6 to get that when regular Wedge's pilot ability is right there.
You know what? I wouldn't mind Wedge's ability on a Hawk, but by then you wouldn't really care because it's I6.
If it was on an I3, I'd be like, that's pretty good. Especially if your Hawk already has Perceptive Copilot on it. At I6, and especially since he's also named Wedge when you're up against OG Godly Wedge's ability, there's no reason to... Anyway.
Yeah.
I went on my rant last time. I don't have to rehash it.
No, I don't think I'd take Yendor. He's nice, but not for 5. I'd rather take Kendi. I don't think I would take any of... I might take Gemmer. I would maybe take, because he's 3 points if for some, but I know Keo's out there, so why would I jam her?
The standout for me is Aiden. Yeah. Aiden Fox, I think, would be, if I'm going to pick a HOTAK MVP, I'm going to pick Aiden.
Yeah, because I do like, if you're stressed, roll one extra defense die.
Yeah. And at an initiative 1, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and it's especially 2 defense die combo makes things that really hard to kill.
Yes, especially if you can combo that with old school Braylon for on an A-wing or even an X-wing. Suddenly your X-wing is like an E-wing,
and you're rolling three defense dice with two rerolls, that's pretty good.
I also like taking it with Alex. Is it Alex?
Which one's that? Which?
It's like the new, or not the new, it's the VCX pilot. It's
Callus.
Yeah, Alex Callus. I really Alexander, like that ability. Because I put those on my Hawks that make it almost invincible on a B-Wing that gets another die if it's already stressed and then rerolls with Braylon. So basically it's while you defend, if the attacker modified any attack dice, you may roll one additional defense die. So I think that combination on a B-Wing of add two defense die.
Yes, suddenly you have a three agility B-Wing.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, because suddenly your B-Wing is 8 or 9 health, A-wing. And it has 3 agility dice. It's 2 A-wings buckled on top of each other because it has as much health as 2 A-wings.
That's just absolutely amazing. That thing will never die.
Yeah. So like, there is fun to be had here.
Oh, attack for sure on standard game. Yes. I don't think so. All right.
Which I makes me sad, but you know, here we are. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll do another one for the Imperial pilots, but I don't think we need to really. At one point, we'll do a live game from the store, probably when we are playtesting the scenario or playing with it for the other people, and then go over the Imperial pilots, because the Imperial pilots they're more rebel than the rebels.
Well, we were playing two separate games the other night when we played my old extended rebel list versus your new Battle of Endor Imperial list. It was like they were balanced for two different games.
I mean, not that I don't want to end the podcast, but to give people an idea, there is a TIE fighter at I-5 that allows ships to boost two of them up to range 0-2. They can perform a boost action, so they don't have to have it on their native menu. And it is a red boost. And then there's an ability on most of the TIE fighters in the Battle of Endor pack that allows them to remove a stress from themselves.
Yeah.
Just because.
Also, they get an innate reroll just for existing. Kind of.
Now I want to look up TIE fighter.
No escape. When you perform a primary attack, if there are more friendly ships than other enemy ships are in 0-1 of the defender, you may reroll one of your blank results.
Yeah, that triggered more than it's a trap.
I think I had maybe one it's a trap trigger. Maybe. I don't know.
I had lots of trigger for the Imperials.
No escape, because it's no a escape. Scenario that's designed for the rebels to be outnumbered.
Yeah, 100%. And the Imperials are just so much cheaper.
Yeah, like the fact that you have like what one of the bombers is 3 points, right? What was it?
Yeah, one of my bombers like, was 3 points. That's one of the
Not Scyther. Where is it? Scimitar 1 or Scimitar 3, I think. One of them. But it's like, okay. No, those are 4 points. Wait, where was the 3-point bomber from?
Oh, maybe. Hold on. Let me look at my bombers.
TBE. That's the Imperial. I think that's the Imperial starter set one.
TIE bomber. There you are. The Scimitar. So there is a.
Those are 4 points each.
Scimitar 3 and Scimitar 1. So those are 4 points each, but they get double. One gets basically double modded proton torpedoes, and the other one, what is it? Yeah, after you drop a bomb, you can perform a boost. So he's basically one of the parting gift, proton bombs, and no escape. I didn't take both of them. I only took the Scimitar 1 because he can do double shot proton torpedoes with his abilities. But yeah, Major Meanda, which comes with the native ability of formed up. At the end of the end phase, if there is another TIE fighter ship in range 0-1, you may remove one stress token.
And how many points is Major Meanda? Just out of curiosity. Just
4, and you get 4 health because it gets a shield upgrade, has ruthless swarm tactics and no escape. And let me tell you, And also a native red coordinate ability. Barrel roll into an evade.
Put her and Howl Runner together, and you can still have 6 Academy pilots. You can still have an 8-ship TIE Swarm with the two of them.
Yep. So I have done some list building with some of these TIE fighters. I think I'm able to get 6 TIE fighters, and that would be like Mienda, Howl Runner, Iden, Mauler, and the other one that combos with him, and then I think an Academy TIE fighter. So you can have like a squad of 6 TIE fighters that are quite beefy, because I think they all have 4 health except for Howl Runner and Iden, but you can upgrade them to have shield upgrades if you want. And also they can nullify one of your attacks. They all get rerolls, and other of them get rerolls because of, you know, abilities. Yeah, they're really good. So if you take Major Mienda with the new TIE interceptors as well, she lets them boost and barrel during the end phase. And if you're lucky, you can't clear their stress. Yeah, you may remove 1 stress token. So, okay, it's remove a stress token from themselves. At the end of the end phase, if there is another friendly ship at range 0-1, you may remove 1 stress. So they don't remove it from another ship, but...
Well, another friendly TIE LN at range 0-1 of you.
Yeah, I know there are other TIE fighters in this pack that have that ability, so she can let those TIE fighters boost, which some of them are really annoying to kill. And then they can remove the stress from themselves. She can coordinate to a TIE fighter and then remove the stress from herself as well. And so I was boosting the TIE interceptors with her ability, because you can just choose up to 2 small ships and they perform either a red boost or barrel roll. And then you're like, well, what about the systems phase? It's like, well, I have another interceptor that can still boost or barrel roll even while stressed. So I can do that during the systems phase too. Yeah. And he can also rotate 90 degrees when he does.
It was like playing 2 separate games, or playing the same game, but with 2 lists from 2 very, very different balanced games. They're balanced on 2 different curves. It was interesting, to say the least.
The problem with that is, for me, in most circumstances, you shouldn't know if something works before you do it. And in that case, I could, because, oh, you know, I really would like to boost or barrel roll to see if this fits. That way I know I can execute this maneuver. So let me try it. During the end phase, it didn't work. It didn't fit. Great. Now I know that it would have been wasted during the systems phase, and then the dial that I would have set is not worth it. So now I know that I can now set the dial that I need to set in order to clear the stress and have ample access. It was ludicrous the amount of things that I could do.
It was spicy times.
Yep.
To say the least.
Oh yeah. And
also she has swarm tactics on her. Just to remind you, at initiative 5. So
I did that shenanigans as well, with one of the interceptors that came in the pack, to where when he shoots...
Yeah, Sapphire 1, I think it is.
Sapphire 1.
Pretty sure.
Where are you? Sapphire 1. Because I think that one's only 4 points as well.
That's when you defend, if you're focused, roll 1 additional defense die. Yeah.
Sapphire 2, there you are. But he has a targeting matrix. Well, attacking, you may spend a focus result to spend and then give you a strain. So my I1 then shoots at I5, gives you a strain, and then also no escape. I can reroll a die if I want to, and I can see if I want to spend my focus for an attack, and if I don't, I keep it for defense and get to roll an extra defense die. It made him ridiculously hard to kill. For an I1, this is one of the best points I could have spent. And then the other issue was Sunter fell, because at one point I did shoot at you, and then I go, okay, I'm going to barrel roll. And you're like, you already barrel rolled this turn. I go, well, this isn't a barrel roll action. This just says I can do it. And I barrel rolled Sunterfell behind a rock, gave him an extra defense die for all of the attacks. He survived. And then guess what he did the very during the systems phase? He barrel rolled again. So he basically, he executed
his
maneuver.
They need to errata that to make it an action.
He barrel rolled, shot, barrel rolled, systems phase, barrel rolled. See, he basically just sideways stepped across the entire board. There's no way that you can predict this.
There's no real way to counterplay it. No, not really. It wasn't.
No,
it's a process.
Yeah, and but, it gave my other pilots, I can't get over this enough. How ridiculous it is. I could talk. Maybe we should do a secret podcast about it. But just another instance to where, well, who cares if you can boost during the end phase? It's like, because Knucklehead, because of the systems of order, I was able to boost Soonterfell out of the way of my other pilot that needed to boost during the systems phase to execute another maneuver that then fit. That way, Soonterfell could then do a two hard and then do a barrel roll. Like I did not bump any of my ships. Even when I screwed up and I was like, crap, I need to barrel roll this turn or else I'm gonna bump, I was able to without problems.
yeah
Meanwhile, Joseph, I'm gonna do a two straight focus.
Yep, that was my big play, was a focus after doing two straight.
Yeah, it's like, what, you don't get three actions a turn?
No, I was playing the old stuff. I was playing an Oztuck and a K-Wing and a Sheathapede and a TIE Fighter. And there's one other thing in my list, an E-Wing, which is a fun list. It was a really fun Rebel Salad list, but just it made me sad.
Yeah, your E-Wing didn't get to shoot proton torpedoes, which is bizarre.
To be fair, I also got called out by your kid when he did that maneuver, so...
Yeah. Oh my God. I was going to do the one straight to eat that proton torpedo. He goes, no, we're doing a four straight. I'm like, balls to the walls. Let's go, kid. Took an E-Wing at range one.
Yep. I was not expecting that. And
Zach Matthews would be just proud.
Yeah.
Yep. And then he K-turned and still got a lock, which you were like, how? And I was like, abilities.
Yes, I locked into here. No, you don't, me. Okay.
That's after friendly ship marine 0-3 performs an attack, you may spend one charge to acquire a lock on that defender, which was another stupid thing because that's when I swarm tactics my I-1 up to I-5 so it could shoot so that it then could allow my scimitar to target lock. Like, it was a dummy list that I made in 5 seconds, but the fact that I was able to make a list that easily, that quickly with all of these new pilots was apps, and I think every single one of them was one out of the pack.
Yep. You know what if I made a rebel pack, it would not look that good as a list.
No.
And
that's my problem with it. The fact that I was able to just dummy 5 ships from the Battle of Endor pack and completely have reign over the entire table was stupid. It makes me wonder what the future of X-Wing is going to be. But before I digress too much.
Yeah, we should probably take this out. Get a little bonus content of us talking about the Imperial pilots.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Please make sure to check out our social media accounts over at reconpaintgaming.com. Go check out recontokens.com for all of your token needs. And if you don't see anything there that you like, you can hit us up and we'll make it for you. $0 customization fee. That's right. So whatever our normal fee is for a token, it doesn't cost any extra for us to make whatever token that you would like. And then we'll ship it to you and they'll be beautiful in exactly what you like. Go check out our YouTube channel, Recon Paint Gaming, to where I did a getting started with HOTAK. I just finished recording a learning to play HOTAK and I have to edit that down and post it to YouTube. And I'm excited to do into that. And yeah, anything else, Joseph?
No, just go out there and have fun and don't deploy your hawk in the middle. Please don't deploy your hawk in the middle.
Deploy your hawk in the middle. Thank you, everyone. Have a good one.
Have a good night, guys.
Bye.